Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Off the Post. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Anthony Mangione and Ant. This is our Flyers Rehab edition. How are you this evening?
You can call us Flyers Rehab, I don't know what to call it, refer to post-mortem, but we'll say at this point right now we're just pretty darn close to it. But,
what are we, I don't know, 17 hours from rigor mortis setting in, but there's still one more game. We'll get to that and a lot of other things. We have on the line Bill Meltzer from Hockey Buzz. Bill, how you doing?
Hey, Rod. Hey, Anthony, how you guys doing tonight?
Doing great, Bill.
Good.
Great.
All right, let's get to the first subject. I guess we'll just chat for a minute about Buffalo. Certainly happy that they got the 30th spot. Did they work hard for it? I don't know if they worked hard for it, but they maneuvered it. And so now they win the McEichel sweepstakes. We don't have to have any more draft simulators. We don't have to have any more of those things. With a minus 111 differential, they're the winners or the losers, however you want to look at it. And so the Flyers are in that either first if they win the lottery, the seventh or eighth spot if they get bumped down. And does that make anybody happy for not making the playoffs, or does it sort of just keep them on the track where, you know, look, Ron Hextall never said they were going to be a playoff team this year, and sort of behind the scenes they're rebuilding, and I don't think they're that far away from being a good team, so... What's your take on that?
My take on it is, I mean, in terms of the slotting right now, seventh, if you're looking at the draft right now, the seventh or eighth spot, you're still in a pretty solid position, I think, right now to get a pretty good player. I think you're possibly in range for, there's a few guys, obviously, you've done your top list of players that could be available.
Mm-hmm.
And, the guy I'd like to certainly see, if I'm targeting anybody right now, but I think he may be taken earlier than that, is a guy like Mitch Marner, if he possibly goes into number seven, if you're looking at forward. Defensively, Ivan Provorov is certainly a guy I would be looking at right now as well. He would be probably my top two targets in that spot, and I think they both have the potential to be helpful in the, I don't want to say necessarily immediately for next year, but these are guys that I really do like as pieces who can be really key pieces for the Flyers going forward. So either way, I think it's still, you're in the top, I think you're in pretty good shape. And obviously, if you get the first pick in the draft, I mean, talent will probably collectively lose it if that occurred, and probably half the league would as well. So again, I would say you're still in pretty good position here for a really good player in any of those spots.
Yeah, no question. Either of those players, if they were there, they'd be great picks. I don't know if they'll be there, but we'll see as time goes on. But before we get Bill's answer, we're just going to welcome in Dave Strail from Fourth Period. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. So you've called into Flyers Rehab, and we're going to talk to Bill Meltzer for a sec, and then we'll get to you in your seat in the round table. And Bill, so what's your take on where they've pretty much secured in their drafting position and for the year?
Well, I think that, draft-wise, any team picking really in top 10, there's a lot of depth in this draft beyond the top couple of guys. I wouldn't be completely shocked if they tried to use the other first-round pick they got from Tampa Bay in the Braden Coburn trade and tried to move up, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a player who they want to move up for into the top five. It's only moving up a spot or two. And it would be, I think they'd certainly be comfortable standing pat and going with what they have, in this draft, having two first round picks is a nice option as well. I'm not one to get really bogged down in whether you pick sixth or seventh or eighth or, it all comes down to the job your scouts did. And, if you look historically with the Flyers, a lot of their best draft picks have been late in the first round anyway, so. It's just luck of the draw, but also, you know, doing your homework and determining who you really think is the best available player, because that's the route they always go. I would not be 100% shocked if they go defenseman again either.
I'll tell you what. I could see that, and in Pro Rough, sure, I could see that too. As much as I've talked to Chris Pryor the last year or two, I think if they stood pat and they stood in their spots, they're still going to get two excellent players. There's really 55 deep in this one, so I think either way you're good with that. Dave, what's your take on it?
I wouldn't be surprised either. I think they will go for a forward, but I mean, as we've seen in the past, you know, they will go for defense if that's the best player left on the board that they feel is available at the time. And as Bill mentioned, I mean, this is a very deep draft. There's going to be some very, very good talent left by the time they pick. And I'm also I could also see them packaging up that second pick and trying to move up if they feel that there's somebody there that they really want to get that hasn't been taken by maybe pick number four.
Okay. All right, so moving on to this season, what's still left of it, the last gasp. We know tomorrow's game is actually very important to the Ottawa Senators, and the Flyers certainly hold all the cards now for the Pittsburgh Penguins. We saw the New York Rangers not wanting to help the New York Islanders get in by sitting certain key players. And do we think we're going to see a similar thing with the Flyers, or are they just going to let fate roll the dice and see what happens?
I think at this point now, you kind of put yourself in a situation. I think you want to go out on a strong note at the end of the season, especially for players that are going to be returning. You know now at this point there's nothing left really to be built in. With Columbus's win, again, there's nothing left built in for them to, you know, if they wanted to move up any spots or get themselves in position, they're locked in at this point. So now you just kind of let things go and you let things play out and you put your best effort forward and you go from there. And for all the subtext of, oh, you know, you could potentially not, you know, put Pittsburgh or Boston in a tough spot. They've already put themselves in tough spots at this point. So at this point, if you're the Flyers, you just go out and, you know, you got one last impression here for guys who are either trying to stay on the roster or guys who are potentially going to be moving on this summer. That's the way I would look at it. And I would expect a pretty intense game.
Yeah, I agree. Bill, what do you think? Flyers fans pretty much have a can't lose tomorrow. Even if they win, they're happy, and one of the teams they hate will be out. And even if they lose, they'll be happy, and one of the teams most likely, well, I guess in a lose scenario, maybe they wouldn't get what they want. But either way, they're pretty much in a win-win for laughing at some other fan base for not getting in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, there are some individual goals for Flyers players to play for, but yeah, I mean, on a team-wide basis, you know, we can touch on this, but the Flyers have been a very good home team this year. You know, they've
sure.
The record at home this year is actually, you know, if you were a pro, and, you know, no, very few teams do as well as, you know, on the road as they do at home. But at any rate, you know, the Flyers have well over 50 points at home this season, even with losing last game.
Yeah, 23, 10, and 7. It's
right.
Really great.
Correct.
It's actually better than Detroit and other teams. You're right.
Exactly. It's a very, very solid home record. And, you know, and of course, there's been all the talk lately about how well they do against teams in playoff position versus how terribly they do against teams that are not in the playoffs. So they seem to continue to play to the level of their opposition a lot. So this isn't a gimme game by any means for the Senators. For the Flyers, it's and I agree with Anthony. I mean, you want to put your best foot forward. And you want to finish as strong as you can, and you know, and then just plan for next season. But I also think the Flyers are wired to roll over for anybody. So I just I expect the Flyers to go all out tomorrow, and who knows what will happen. I think also. You know, I think the Flyers want to have a good game in front of Mason. When they're going to get him at least third in save percentage in the league. They hung him out to dry a little bit last game against the Islanders late in the game after he played so well. Voracek has some individual goals, although I don't think he's going to catch the Art Ross leaders at this point. So, I mean, you know, there's some guys to play for, you know.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think they'll do that. Dave, what do you think? How do you think things are going to shake out? Do you think this is a game where the Hamburglar comes in and he steals one and maybe gets the story of the year if the Senators clinch on the last game of the season?
Well, he certainly has been. I mean, I saw his record is 19-1-2 since being called up, and it's just amazing. I mean, really brought the Senators from, you know, they were nowhere near playoff contention when he came up, and he's just been an amazing story, as the whole team. I mean, they have some excellent rookies, Stone, Hoffman. I mean, they just rolling right now, and they are going to be a very scary team to play if they do get into the playoffs. And, you know, I don't think the Flyers are going to roll over. You know, Ron Hextall had mentioned that the Flyers, you know, he had said weeks ago that they weren't going to tank in order to get a better draft position. And they're certainly not going to tank the last game of the season in order to, you know, potentially damage the Penguins' chances. So, you know, they're gonna put their best foot forward. They're definitely going to give Ottawa a very tough struggle tomorrow. And, you know, Ottawa just has to get to overtime to clinch. So, you know, we've seen the Flyers go to many extra time games this year. They set a franchise record. So, you know, it may go to the extra time and the Flyers, you know, could pull it out there. It certainly would be a challenge if it goes to a shootout. But, you know, I think it'll be a very competitive game. I think the Flyers could actually pull it out. You know, it's going to be an interesting game, and, you know, you're going to have national media there covering that story.
Oh,
with
Canada,
Senators,
yeah, everybody
so.
From Canada will be there.
Absolutely.
No question about it. All right, so we move on to another topic. There's been some player hot button topics, and so we'll bring up Sean Couturier, and my feeling was last year I told people I thought he had a solid season. I didn't know what people's expectations were. Maybe they were thinking he's going to be like a 25 goal scorer. I mean, he is still just 22 years old, and he hasn't necessarily even gotten close to reaching his ceiling yet, not to mention even having the right line mates yet. So opportunity, all those things seem to have picked up for him late in the season. Pretty consistent compared to last year. He's going to end up with, you know, 37 points maybe if he gets a point tomorrow. And we had 39 the year before, 15 goals. And to me, very solid. If he ends up to be, you know, a 50-55 point guy and a shutdown offensive, you know, presence on the ice, being able to shut down somebody's top center, top wing. I mean, to me, that's – I don't know what more the fans could be looking for. Why do fans – think that Couturier is going to score like he did in juniors? I don't get it.
Well, number one, I mean, we all know the reason why. When you're a top 10 pick, there are expectations. And again, finishing off his junior career, 96 points in both back-to-back seasons for Drummondville. Promising first season. There were a lot of expectations on him. Obviously, his profile was increased exponentially, certainly during that first round series in 2012 when they played against Pittsburgh, and again he had the hat trick, and this is what the expectation became, and this is what the expectation was. And I always sort of projected him, and Bill knows this, and Dave knows this. I've always looked at him. I don't know if he necessarily quite has the. I kind of always looked at him and says his top end was Jordan Staal, of the type of player that I think he can be, where I think he is an elite. I think he's a high, high end third line player who can potentially, in the right situation with the right line mates, potentially be top six in that circumstance. Again, I think his skate, there are the areas that he needs to improve on. I think his skating is starting to get a little bit better. Although he still has some moments where I think he can be caught a little bit flat-footed. I think maybe he could certainly warrant to have a little bit more upper body strength, especially if he's going to be used in those roles. And again, he's used pretty heavily to begin with. But
sure.
Again, a guy comes straight in out of juniors, and you know, the expectations were what they were for him. And again, 36 points this year. If he has consistent scoring line mates, if Matt Reed is physically, you know, if he starts looking like the Matt Reed we saw a couple of years ago, then, and he has, you know, Wayne Simmonds on his line as well, and they kind of stay together potentially. I mean, lines are going to change, and again, we don't know what the situation will be for next year, but I think next year is his big opportunity, that if he's going to prove that he can top out into that 55-point range, get close, maybe hovering, get somewhere close to 20 goals and have himself in the plus 35, you know, 35 range for assists, we could be seeing a player where you can say, okay, you know, they may have a long-term situation there with a guy like him, or else past that, then they got to start looking at going forward, other potential options at the center position, potentially guys they might draft. But again, he's got a chance next year, in my mind, to really sort of move into that range.
Fair enough. Bill, what's your take on Sean Couturier?
Well, you know, there's a feeling some people around the organization that Couturier sometimes almost a little too hockey smart for his own good. You know, he's always worried about not getting in the wrong side of the puck, which is admirable, but you know, sometimes you have to shoot the puck too when you have the opportunity, you know, and they feel, it's not just Berube says it a lot, but there are others that feel too, that, you know, he can, at this point in his career, he can kind of be one or the other. He can either look to be more offensive, you know, focus mainly on being a defensive center, which is what he's done. He hasn't figured out yet how to be both. You know, a lot of times when people say, well, look at all his defensive zone starts and the quality of opposition he's against, and all that is true. I mean, there's no denying that, and that does limit offensive opportunities to a large degree. But, you know, by the same token, it's been pointed out, well, you know, look at Patrice Bergeron's rate of offensive zone starts versus defensive zone. He's starting the defensive zone a lot. You know, he still scores too, and he's, you know,
sure.
So I, you know,
a lot more experience there, though.
Exactly. I mean, what they're saying, you know, but that's the point the Flyers would like to get him to. If he'll ever get to that point, I don't know. I mean, that's a very ambitious goal, but is it in the realm of possibility? Sure. You know, but it's also a best case scenario. You know, I think one thing that's promising moving forward, and it's been a little kind of hidden subtext later in the season, the latter part of the season, is that earlier this season, Braden Schenn had a nice little run playing on the line with Reed and Couturier. Now, at that point, Schenn was playing left, and then they moved Schenn up to the top line, where he kind of struggled again. That period of time when he was with Couturier did well. Now he's been back with Couturier again, playing right wing this time, and they've actually discovered, much to their surprise, and even Braden Schenn's surprise, he likes playing right wing. He likes it a lot, and he feels like he sees the ice better from that side. He feels like he can get to the net better, skating down his off wing, and he's scoring. And all of a sudden, Couturier's on a nice little run. Now people can say, okay, well, you know, it's the games are meaningless at this point for the Flyers. They're too little, too late, and all that's true for this year. But I actually think that the plan, assuming both players are here, you know, the start of next season, there's no kind of blockbuster trades made. I actually think you're going to see Schenn on Couturier's right wing, and they're going to try to go with that for a while. Now, you know, whether Matt Reed will be there or move to another line, or you know, he had a really down year here, and a lot of it was. A lot of it was physical reasons. You know, he's a skating-oriented player, and he's slowed down by a high ankle sprain that he played through for a couple of months. So, you know, but I think moving forward, actually, the latter part of the season, you know, they've been playing games that have been against teams trying to get into the playoffs. So, you know, those have been big goals, you know, that big scoring in those games. So those have been, you know, playoff kind of intensity games. You know, playing Pittsburgh. I mean, those games that Schenn had against Pittsburgh were tremendous. So I think that, I think that's actually a little bit of a sign of hope moving forward. But they really need to see from him, both guys, you know, it's really, they want to see a little more consistency. I don't think that Couturier has to be a 25-goal guy. If he's an 18 or 20-goal guy who gets you 45, 50 points and play shutdown defense. That's all anybody can ask. They do need, you know, they need Braden Shen to be a 20, 25 goal guy. And I think for next year, 25 is about the goal they're setting. So, you know, those guys have to progress next year. If they do that, then all of a sudden you're looking a lot better forward depth than just being a one-line team. Plus, you still have, you still have some combination of Simmons in there, and he's in the top power play unit as well. So, you know, I think they're going to look to add a second-line center if they can do that this offseason. And, you know, I mean, and of course, reshaping the defense and bringing the prospects along is the long-term, you know, the long-term X factor on the team. But I think they're a little better off than a lot of people think they are.
No, I agree. Now, Dave, we're going to give you the wraparound here because Bill already jumped into the next subject of Braden Shen. And my only comment on Braden Shen would be he maybe has the most maligned 46-point season in the NHL by the Flyers fan base, because while he's had his ups and downs during the year, he's still got pretty good numbers. He probably is a winger. We all know that. So go ahead and give a quick comment on each of those guys. And then just to let the listeners know, we'll probably go into 5 or 10 minutes of overtime, but I want to give you your shot on both of them.
On Couturier and Shen?
And Shen, yep.
Well, you know, Couturier has taken a lot of criticism for not putting up points, but, you know, what a lot of people didn't really, you know, fail to realize is for most of the season he had an injured Matt Reed and an injured R.J. Umberger. And, I mean, it was basically like dragging a couple of bowling balls behind them. So, you know, it wasn't the most ideal situation. In addition to, you know, getting the high percentage of defensive zone starts, you know, he will get those defensive zone starts. I mean, it's going to be the way it's going to be no matter who's coaching this team. He's going to have to find a way to put up points. I think he will. I think he will put up more points. And, you know, as you mentioned, with Shen on his right wing, it's actually kind of bringing up an interesting situation down the stretch here because, you know, with Wayne Simmons out, that was where he was playing. And, you know, moving forward, it's going to be interesting to see who they want to put in that spot because, you know, Shen has played well with Reed and Couturier before. Now, if you look at Shen's numbers down the stretch here, he has put up really good numbers. He was player of the week last week. He's second star of the week. You know, some of the goals have been kind of fluky. You know, the Halak goal the other night was kind of a prayer. And
but they
the
all
one
counted.
Goal against, that's right, and so did the one that he had against the Penguins when he stuck his stick out and the thing popped up about 15 feet in the air and went over top of Thomas Grice and trickled in. You know, they all count. And it takes some luck. They're not all going to be highlight reel goals. But, you know, it's interesting situation because he has put up career high point numbers. But I agree, he's got to really get his goal totals up next year. But it's going to be interesting to see where they slot him and Wayne Simmons because if they decide to put Shen on that right wing and decide to move Matt Reed somewhere else, you know, it hasn't worked out with Wayne Simmons on the left side of any line they've tried him on. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting process here over the summer here as they try to move forward because, you know, positioning these guys, I think it's pretty much set that Michael Raffel is going to be the first line left winger. He's proven he belongs with Giroux and Voracek.
No question. We're going to cut you there. We're going to go to the next subject, and the next subject's going to be, and I'll start it off. We all write. We are all broadcasting at times. And inevitably predicting. And so what is the one prediction that everybody's had that they've sort of seen come true and are happy about it? I'll go first and say that I knew the minute Michael Delzato was available. I put it on social media. I knew he was headed to the Flyers. I had no inside information. It just seemed like such a no-brainer, and the guys had a great year, excellent comeback year in their system, really reviving his career, and now he'll get a nice contract for it based on some of these other contracts that have come out the last few days. So I'm going to take credit, and people could kill me if they want, but I thought Delzato had a real good year, and I was happy for him. Ant, what about you?
For me, was the one thing I was pretty sure of was Steve Mason's ability to maintain his track with regards to moving into the upper echelon, I think, amongst NHL goaltenders. I think some people still had some questions about him going in, into the season. It's understandable considering what his, you know, past history was, but I felt he had a seemed to have a really good partnership going with now former goaltending coach Jeffries. Seemed to get himself into that mindset of, and it was tough, certainly. We remember early, you know, obviously had difficulties early in the season of him playing well, the team in front of him just not being able to do it, and it's been obviously a season-long thing. But, again, he's coming in, he's, you know, my anticipation was even with the defense being somewhat in flux, being, not somewhat in flux, but being in flux for the most part, and not a particularly daunting-looking blue line in this case, that he still could maintain a pretty high level of performance, and he has done that. And that was the one thing to me that I felt would maintain and has maintained throughout the year.
All right, Bill, what about you?
I was going to actually bring up the same points Anthony did, but I do have another one. You know, I thought Voracek was poised to have a very good year this year. I wasn't going to say he was going to, you know, be leading the Art Ross Trophy race mid-season. And
at least you're honest.
I was thinking absolutely he could get 70, 75 points this season, and you know, exceeded even that. So he's been consistently a very high level player. He started out last season injured. Got off a little bit of a slow start. He had a preseason issue, but once he got healthy with that, he was actually really productive as the season went along. So, you know, I mean, he hit the prime of his career, and I wasn't at all surprised at the season that he has.
Okay, Dave.
Mine was Mason. Kind of took a lot of heat, you know, in the last year when he was putting up some good numbers. You know, I guess people wanted to see a longer track record, and I think they've gotten that. Even with the win-loss record this year, I think, you know, he's proven.
Okay. Now we're going to go with who everybody thinks is either the most underrated player on the team or one of them. I'll go first. I know Anthony and I had a conversation. We sit next to each other at games, and 2 years ago, I believe, is when it was the Olympic year, right, Ann? And we were talking about Mark Streit, and I was like, you know, I think if he goes to the Olympics and he becomes the guy again, we're going to see a different guy coming out of the Olympics. And I don't have numbers for that, but he has certainly picked it up from that point. And now this year, you know, he's got 52 points, a very quiet 52 points. I don't even see that many Flyers fans trumpeting it. I understand it's a bad season. But as far as offensive defensemen go, that is a tremendous season. Who do you have for maybe the most underrated guy?
In terms of underrated for the Flyers, in some ways I'd have to go with a guy, again, that has been, we talked about earlier, as the season's going on. I do believe there's Sean Couturier, certainly as the season has gone on, and it's gotten to the point now where I think he's getting into a more comfortable place with things in terms of his opportunities that came available, you know, to him this year and the difficulties that he had to deal with early on in terms of what the expectations were and the expectations still are. I do think he's underrated. I think he's underrated for what he's able to do defensively. In some ways, we trumpet it a lot, but it's a lot of times these are things that, you know, people don't, you know, they focus a lot more on the offensive shortcomings and not look at really at what he does provide defensively. He's gotten better. I think he's, you know, I still won't certainly put him out on draws. Again, there's still areas that he can improve, certainly. But again, I have to keep in mind, he's 22 years of age. He's still a young man. And he's just, you know, and I think for the criticism and the fact that he's, it sometimes has sort of became, a little bit of a lightning rod, I think he's a guy who's underrated.
Okay, Bill, got a couple of minutes. We're gonna probably go for another 7-8 minutes, so we're gonna keep him a little shorter. But Bill, who's your guy?
All right, I have two. Anthony mentioned Michael Roffel before, and I think he'd be a good pick for a really underrated player. I mean, he is a complimentary player, you know, on the top line. He's not he's not the focal point, but he's really found a knack for going to the net. He was already underrated in his physical game and his two-way ability. And this year he's found a little bit of a goal-scoring touch, too. So he would be one guy. The other guy I would have is Pierre-Édouard Bellemare. He hasn't put up any offensive numbers, and I actually thought he might play a little higher in the offensive rotation because he was always in Europe a goal scorer wherever he went. I actually think next year you might see a double-digit goal season out of him. I wouldn't be surprised. But even with very modest numbers, he's given the Flyers a legitimate fourth-line center that gives them the ability to roll four lines, and he makes a lot of smart defensive plays. Every single game, Bellemare is doing something, lifting a guy sick, just protecting the puck, getting the puck out of the zone. Flyers struggle with failed clears. Bellemare is one of the more reliable guys getting the puck out of the zone. And in a game today where, having a fourth line, being able to roll four lines is necessary, he's the kind of player that a lot of teams have on their fourth lines now, winning teams. And I think he's been pretty underrated, his role. And also I'll add that coming over from Europe at an advanced age and fitting in as quickly as he did is pretty impressive.
All right, Dave, who do you got?
I was also going to say Roffel. I think that missing 20 games and still coming up with over 20 goals, I think he could be poised to really scratch the surface for a 30-goal year next season. Jake Voracek had alluded to that earlier in the season, and I think we're seeing the things that he does that can get him to that point, and I think he'll do it next season.
Okay. I'm going to give everybody 1 minute for their last filibuster. It could be on anything they want. I'll start it off by saying there have been some really interesting pickups for the Flyers this year, and, Ryan White has really done a really nice job. I mean, this is a guy who's come in, and we, saw him come into the league a while ago, 2006 draft, and sort of a 6 foot but looks less than 6 foot kind of guy, and plays a different kind of brand of hockey, and he doesn't necessarily play the Zach Rinaldo type because he's a little more offensive, but yet can fill a similar role, and he's been a really good spark plug, and so I'm happy for the guy. I think they would do well by keeping him next year. I think that was a good find for them. Maybe just a spare part in Montreal was a good find for them. Ant, what do you think?
I'd say what they were able to, signing Nick Schultz in the offseason and what he was able to be able to provide them on the blue line, he's consistent, he got back to what, a lot of people saw in him in Minnesota in terms of being just a good, solid, straightforward defensive presence for the team, a solid, solid guy on the penalty kill. Again, the contract that they signed into is certainly a very good one for them. He is a third on a really, really good team. He's a third pairing defenseman, but he's been able to rehabilitate his career with the Flyers, and I think he is, in my mind, sort of the archetype for having a good, solid defenseman while the team is transitioning from the veterans that they have had to hopefully, and again, in the next few years, when some of the younger defensemen, like potentially a Robert Haig or a Sam Moran or possibly a Travis Sanheim, are ready to go, he can be sort of, he can sort of settle himself more into that third pairing role while those guys begin to move into more prominent roles going forward. So a good solid effort for him this year, I think, Schultz, and I think he was a good signing for them and a good signing going forward.
Okay, Bill?
Well, I think that there's going to be a ton of speculation. There's already been a ton of speculation, but about the Flyers making a coaching change this summer. I don't think it's absolutely 100% set in stone, and I could be wrong. But I don't think that, for all I know, on Saturday or Sunday or Monday, they could announce, coaching. Berube's being relieved of his job. But the sense that I get is they're not going to rush into a decision. They're going to see what might be out there this summer. If there's a McClellan type, maybe Tippett. They might make a move. They don't want to end up in a situation though, like Pittsburgh had, where you're leaving your coach twisting in the wind for months. Berube's been a good soldier to the organization. There's a lot of hockey people. We see them around the building, and they've been pretty vocal actually in recent weeks. They like the job Craig Berube has done a lot more than Flyers fans. By and large, do the hockey people think he's done pretty well. So, I think that it's not set in stone. I think, I think it's going to be an interesting watch, though, to see what goes on and when the Flyers do actually say something about coaching for next year.
All right, Dave Strehl, you've got the last word. I want to thank Anthony again, Bill again, Dave. We're gonna head out with you because after this, the lights will go out, and you got about a minute.
Okay.
So. Make it count.
Okay. Well, I think the Flyers are not that far away. I think Ron Hextall was right. They have a good core in place. I think with certain moves this offseason, if he can be creative in getting rid of some of the bad contracts that he was left from the previous regime, I think bringing some of the youth, infusing that in, I don't think this team is that far away. I think they will make the playoffs next season, and I think we'll be having a much different conversation.
Is this a guarantee?
Is this
a Joe Namath guarantee?
I won't go as far as the guarantee, but I would say 75%. I think we'll be having a different conversation next season at this point.
All right, fair enough. Gentlemen, thanks a lot. Thanks for taking time out of your day. And we'll pick this up next week, I'm sure, with some good playoff talk, and thanks for everybody for tuning in. You're listening to Off the Post, and we'll catch everybody next time.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks, guys.